was a drug baby. I was a drug church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whether I wanted to be there or not. Amen. And praise God for it. Amen. Anyway, my dad's been a preacher all my life, Baptist preacher all my life. He hadn't always pastored, but he's always been a preacher. Always loved the book, loved God, taught me how to follow God. At 1987, on a Wednesday night, at a little down a winding road called Corbina Road in South Lake Charles, God saved a seven-year-old boy. Amen. And that was the day God saved my soul from hell. And my wife, Lord, praise God, she was raised in a similar home. Her dad was a preacher. They was actually missionaries to Spain. They was at a tent meeting up here in New York, and the preacher got up and preached on, "Let me tell you about my father." Amen. She said at the end of the message, she said, "I realized Jesus wasn't my father." She said, "I went forward and asked the Lord to save me." And so praise God for my wife and her testimony. And she's just a real jewel. A man couldn't ask for a better wife, I tell you. And she does a lot for us on the road, and I'm just very glad to have her by my side. But, you know, she was serving God, and I was serving God, and I met her on March the 1st of 2009. Her parents came by our church to present their ministry, and I met her on March the 1st, and I asked her to marry me on March the 30th. Amen. Yeah. Amen. It was the same year. Amen. And we did. We got married in November. I better remember that one. Amen. November of 2009, and I tell you what, I was serving the Lord, she was serving the Lord. We ain't never had to back up on serving God. Amen. Amen. And I want to tell you, that's what will happen when you get God's mate for your life. Young kids, young children, young people here, just want to tell you, the devil's got someone for you, and God's got someone for you. You better hope you get the one God's got for you. Amen. And I always make that plug, because it's just so important if you're ever going to serve the Lord and want to serve the Lord. Amen. So we got married there in 2009 and kind of took on the role as assistant pastor there for my dad at the church. And we was assistant pastor, and we were the lead lawn man and the lead janitor. And we took lead of the visitation, and we was lead Sunday school superintendent, and Leah, amen. We just kind of took on everything. But after a while there, God moved us south of there. We worked in a lot of a little church, Vincent Settlement Baptist Church, where we took on the role of a song music director and Sunday school teacher, and we was teaching 10 and 12-year-olds and helping with the bus route, and we was preaching on the streets and preaching in the nursing homes, and we was helping another brother down the road about an hour and a half, help him get a church started down there, and we was just trying to do something for the Lord, amen. Hey, I just want my life to count for something for God, amen. And while we was down there serving God, I was in my prayer closet praying for God's will, amen. I think if you're looking for God's will, that's a good place to start, amen. Pastor was teaching about it this morning, the prayer, getting in the prayer closet, amen. And I went in my prayer closet, and it was me and Jesus. And I said, "Lord, I love you. I trust you." I said, "I don't want to miss the will of God for my life." I said, "I'd follow you anywhere, even to the depths of Uganda, Africa." I said that all by myself. Me and Jesus, amen, in the four walls, amen. And, I just prayed that. I wasn't being sarcastic with God. I meant it from the depths of my heart. And now I knew here that there was no way God would ever call a Cajun to go to Africa. Amen. We eat mud bugs. They eat grass bugs. That just, they don't go together. And anyway, so, you know, I kept on praying that in my prayer closet, not because I wanted to go to Uganda, but because I knew it didn't matter where God's will was. That's where I wanted to be. Amen. If it was there in Lake Charles, amen, I want to be there. If it was in Africa, amen, that's where I want to be. I want to be where God is. Amen. And so God called us to go up to Bible Institute there in Alabama, and we moved out and felt like the children of Israel coming out of there, Lord Jesus. Anyway, that's another story. But we got out of Louisiana and got up into Alabama and began Bible Institute. We got through our first year of Bible Institute. I'm still in my prayer closet praying for God's will. And I said, "Honey, let's go get around God." There was a revival meeting going on in the backwoods of Alabama. And boy, it was one of them backwood, Holy Ghost filled meetings that goes on, if you, whatever you picture that going on in the backwoods of Alabama, I'm sure that's what it was. Because, brother, I'm telling you, God showed up in a mighty way. And they was just singing, and they was just shouting, and we was down at the altar, snotting and calling on God. And this big preacher showed up, amen, and the little preacher hadn't even stood up yet. But there was a high hum in the building, and God had business to attend to. And as the man of God come to the pulpit, I didn't know anything about his ministry at the time. He come with a heavy heart. I think he just said the first thing that was on his heart and on his mind that evening. And he says, "We're looking for a young man. We're looking for a young family to be a missionary." And boy, I'm getting excited because I'm thinking, man, when's the last time you saw somebody get called to the mission field? Someone called to the ministry. And I mean, in the Holy Ghost, I'm excited about what God's going to do. Amen. And then in the next breath, he says, "To Uganda, Africa." Amen. And the Holy Ghost of heaven come by my pew and said, "Hey, boy, remember what you told me?" I said, "Yeah, Lord." I couldn't run. There wasn't nowhere to run. I knew sitting there, I was going to Africa. Amen. But I didn't want to make a decision based on emotion, so I went and grabbed my pastor, and we began to pray. Amen. And I hemmed up every missionary I could for the next 3 years as we finished up Institute. And I asked him, I said, "How did you know God was calling you to go? How did you know God was calling you?" We took a trip in 2017 after we prayed for several years and God finally opened the door. And I'm going to tell you, it's easy. It would have been easy to make an emotional driven decision. You know, I feel so good about it. And it would have been easy to look at the poor starving children there in Africa and where I've seen poverty like I ain't never seen. And I'm telling you, in a third world country, I think every teenager in America needs to go to theme park third world. Amen. It'll help them out. Amen. Help them be thankful for what God's done for you. Amen. "Oh, I need a drink of water." Welcome to theme park third world. You'll be lucky if you get water. Amen. And I want to tell you, we went over there and it was easy to see that and get a burden, but I didn't want to go because I felt sorry for some poor children. I wanted to go because I knew God was calling me. I mean, we're talking about taking my family out of America, putting them in a third world country. We're going to take the gospel ministry and start churches. I can't do that. There's nothing within me that has the strength to do that. But he can.
Amen.
Well, I'd be a fool not to make sure he was involved. Amen.
Right.
So we come back, and that was in November of 2017. And as we was praying, and I was working the job still and driving a company truck and just kind of had a little verse that was a humming in my heart, and I was giving attendance to exhortation. That means I was listening to preaching. Amen. And I was giving attendance to exhortation there, and on the radio there was a preacher preaching a missions conference, and he was preaching a message about a grown-up faith, man, and following God in faith. And he just said what I needed to hear. He said, "If you don't have a call to stay, then you have a call to go." And boy, about the same time, the Holy Ghost of heaven climbed up in that little bitty cab of the truck with me, amen, began to whisper John chapter 15 and number 16 in my heart, "He have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you should go." Amen. And that's what I was waiting on right there. Confirmation of the Holy Ghost. And boy, God got so big inside the cab of that little truck of mine, I had to pull her over, son. Jumped out, ran 3 laps, ate the back bumper. Woo! Called mama up. I said, "Honey, we're going to Africa." Yeah, man. Say, "Preacher, why are you so excited about it?" "Because it still burns right here in my chest. That's why. And I hope it never stops." Amen. It's the call of God on my life. That's what I've been waiting for. And so, but we got to have a heart. But let me tell you a little bit. I got all kinds of statistics to tell you about Uganda, you know. And it's about the size of Oregon. But to kind of put it in perspective, somebody was asking us about, you know, are we going to have plenty to do? Well, Oregon only has 8 million people in there. And Uganda has 48 million people. So we're not quite on top of each other, but I want to say there is plenty to do in any direction. 48 million opportunities to tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we're going to go there. It's they was run by the Brits there. They've kind of made English the national language. You know, on the world scale, I guess you could say they would be somewhat considered a Christian nation. But I want to tell you that the religion over there has just absolutely been the devil's tool to harden the hearts of the people there. They're about 40% Catholic, and the Church of Uganda is British Anglican, and everybody has seen Jesus on the cross, or everybody's heard this story of Jesus, and they all know about the story of Jesus, but hardly any of them have a relationship with him. Now, as far as Bible-believing Baptists go in the country, as far as the religious rates go, probably about 0.5% call themselves Baptists over there. But when you throw King James in there, it gets a little bit smaller. Amen? It does. Sure does. And so about 0.2%, less than a half a percent of the country have a copy of the King James Bible, are following the King James Bible and following God. And so in that perspective. So we're going to be going to work with a veteran missionary there. His name is Keith Stinson. He's been there for 23 years. He's got a well-established work. And what happens is he has a radio program. They've been pumping out the gospel now. They've made English the national language for over 25 years ago, whenever Museven, their president, took over. And so everybody that's been able to go to school has had to learn to read, write, and understand English, which is good because when we're in the big cities, everybody wants to speak English with us. Well, amen. We want to speak English with them too. Amen. And so, praise God, what an opportunity. But we are going to be going to the, one guy told me his idea of missions was to start in the city and you train a bunch of men, let them go out to the village, and it's the trickle-down effect. Well, because we're going to work with a veteran missionary, we are going to work in the trickle-down effect, okay? And we're going to be going out to the villages, and we're going to, what's happened is they've been hearing the gospel message on this radio, over a million people every day for 15 years. They've been hearing the gospel. They've been getting saved. Many of them have been following the Bible teaching. And you cast your bread upon the water and it's going to come back to you. Rare things going on right now. They are calling in to the radio station. And they're saying, hey, we've heard the gospel message. We got saved. Would you come? Could you send someone to come to our village and preach this gospel message to our family? Hey, we've been getting a group together and meeting on Saturdays. We got a guy. We would like to start a church. We've been listening to the Bible studies. Could you send someone over to our village and help us to get a church started in our village? What an amazing opportunity. That don't happen every day. And so God is moving in a mighty way right now. And I just think it's a great opportunity to go sit under a man who's been there for so long and learn something about how to minister to the people of Uganda. Amen. And we'll be there our first 2 years learning the trade language of Lugandan, because even though there's 47 different dialects of Swahili spoken throughout the country, Lugandan is the major trade language. And so anywhere we go, we can speak Lugandan out in the bush and somebody will understand that. And so y'all pray for us in that regard, learning that right there. So we'll be with Brother Keith about a year or two, maybe five. But right now, that's our goal. That's where we're going to go. And that's what we're going to do. Join ourselves to this. It's called the Village Mentorship and Assistance Ministry. And we'll be going out helping to establish churches in villages, train national pastors, help getting churches started by way of door-to-door visitation, evangelism, building relationships. And, here's the thing. We're going to go out there and, I may not win the older crowd, but here's the thing about the population of Uganda. Over 50% is under the age of 25. There is a generation that is coming up that needs to be reached. This next generation coming up, they have what the generation before them didn't have. Cell phones. And the minds and hearts of the people are changing. Of the kids are changing. And they need someone to go and win them to the Lord. And we feel like that's what God's called us to do. And we have a great opportunity to reach this generation coming up. And let God do a work that way. So we're about 50% on our support right now. Y'all do pray for us. We're not accustomed to negative degree temperatures. Amen. Being from Alabama, And I'm glad I checked my antifreeze. Amen. Amen. And so we're going to be up here in New York for the rest of February, over Syracuse, Connecticut. And then we'll start heading out in March. And just very grateful to be here. Thank you, church, for your heart for missions. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity and the great spirit here, great people, great facilities. Just thank you. I don't know who took the time to clean all that out up there and fix that, but thank you. It's wonderful. One of the best places we've stayed so far. So, well, without further ado, the man of God said he wants some preaching. Amen. So let's turn in our Bibles, if you will. Anywhere, it's all good. Amen. But we did that one time. We was doing popcorn preaching when I was in Bible Institute. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I was in Bible college. And I was a little bit older than some of the guys there, and they thought they wanted to do some popcorn preaching. Well, I'd been in and did that a few times coming up in the Baptist church. And so we'd get in there, and they all, you know, we want to pick the good books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you know, Galatians, you know. I'm out there going, Nahum! Nahum! Preach from Nahum! Who preaches out of Nahum? You know? Hezekiah! You know? They're all looking, Hezekiah, you know? So I get up there and they go, oh yeah, we're going to get him now. We're going to get him now. Yeah, yeah. Preach from Obadiah. We ain't never heard no. Yeah, Obadiah. And so they're going to throw Obadiah on me. Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 1. Man, have you ever read that? Son, if you can't preach Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 1, your wood's wet. You need to sit down. Amen. I'm just going to tell you. Amen. Just talking about we had heard a rumor. Amen. Talking about getting behind the king. Amen. I'm like, Lord Jesus, I was preaching a house of fire. Amen. Praise God. I never forgot it. One of these days, I'll actually get a message on that. Amen. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 17 and verse number 18 says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, amen, but to preach. To preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. So let's pray, and we'll get into this, and I've got 10 minutes. And so y'all pray for me. Those that preach short get more support, amen. Lord Jesus, God, help us, Lord. I definitely need you this morning, God. We just thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace. It's good to be in the house of God this morning with the people of God, Lord, and the Spirit of God. And God, Lord, there ain't a better life I'd rather be living. Lord, ain't no other place I'd rather be than right here in the house of God. Oh, God, thank you for saving me, God. Thank you, God, for saving us, Lord, and working in our lives. And God, I pray, Lord, for a little while, God, you'd allow us just to magnify your Son, Jesus Christ, God. And Lord, pray that you'd bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm a missionary, so I have to go there. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He said unto them, it's part of the Great Commission. Amen. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. He didn't ask me to go and share. Amen. Amen. He asked me to go and preach the gospel. Every creature needs a preacher. Amen. And he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 17, God sent me not to baptize, but to preach. Amen. Hey, I want to tell you, we don't need more programs in the church house today. We need more preaching. Amen. We don't need to go out and feed the hungry and dress the naked. Amen. We need more preaching. And now I'm all for those things, and I think there's a place for them. Hey, but if it ain't furthering the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, what are you doing it for? Amen. Hey, the Bible said we need to preach the gospel. And Romans chapter 10 and verse number 14 through 16, we know these verses. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher. Amen. Somebody. Hey, will somebody stand up and preach the gospel? Amen. Will somebody stand up and give glory to God in this day and hour? Will somebody give God credit for all the goodness in their life in this day and hour? Say, well, preacher, I work a full-time job. I can't just break down and start preaching. No, you probably can't do that. I understand. Amen. God, they hired you to work. Amen. Not to preach. Amen. But you can give praise and glory and honor to God every time you get a chance. So what's that? That's called preaching. Amen. Amen. It's like smash your finger. My favorite illustration here, because I've had to do it. Amen. Smash your finger with a hammer, and they're all looking at you, waiting for you to cuss. You're right, and you know you're thinking it right here. But instead of it coming out, you say, "I love Jesus." Amen. Praise your holy name. What's wrong with that guy? Amen. Hey, I just want to give God glory. Amen. Glory. I got a finger I can smash. It's still intact. Praise God. And how shall they preach except they be sent? And friend, I want to tell you that Great Commission is for all of us. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Oh, blessed day. The glad tidings of the gospel donned the ears of a little boy who realized he was a sinner and realized my sin was going to put me in hell. Hey, but then I heard how Jesus died on the cross and paid my sin debt and told me all I have to do is put my faith and trust in him and I can go to heaven. Whoop! Glad tidings. Amen. What a good day. Amen. I liked it. Amen. But they have not obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Amen. You're going to have to use the word. You want to say this about preaching. And I'm going to have to talk fast if you listen fast. Amen. There's preaching that contorts. There's preaching that retorts, and exhorts. Amen. The object of preaching, hey, is to develop Christ-like character. Amen. Christ-like conviction. Amen. And Christ-like conduct. The purpose of preaching, amen, is to convert the lost. It's to edify the saved. Hey, it's to witness against those who reject Christ. Amen. The gospel is what we're preaching here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses number 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that Christ, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Amen. Hey, it's the greatest story ever told. Amen. Hey, it don't get no better. Hey, this is it's an ageless story. It's an eternal story. Now, it is the greatest promise ever given to mankind. John chapter 3 and verse number 16, we all know it. For God, hey, he's the greatest person, so loved the world, the greatest passion that he gave his only begotten son. Hey, the greatest present of that whosoever believeth in him. Hey, the greatest invitation, amen, should not perish. Hey, it's the greatest promise, hey, but have everlasting life. Hey, it's the greatest purpose, amen. I never get tired of hearing how Jesus died for me. I never get tired of telling how he saved my soul. I never get tired of hearing how God came in and walked up bloody Calvary, amen, and laid down his life for me, amen. The Lamb of God, like the prophet in the wilderness said, like John the Baptist, hey, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Hey, and he took away my sins. He took away my sins. Hey, it's the great story. It's the old, old story. And it'll never go on or go old. We was talking about Fanny Crosby. And she wrote those songs, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Hey, I've been listening to it since I was a boy. It ain't never got old, amen. I ain't never got over it, amen. As they say in Alabama, it just keeps getting gooder and gooder, amen. Oh, old Fanny Crosby wrote the words, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious. Hey, it's the sweetest that ever was heard. Preaching, the preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross, that's what's going to save lives from hell. That's what's going to make, hey, it's foolishness to the world. They don't understand it. Of all the things that you could do to go to heaven, why would you want to go up a dark hill and bow down at a bloody cross? It's foolishness to them. But to us that are saved, man, it is the power of God.
Amen.
It's the power of God. Say you're lacking power in your life, dear Christian. Magnify Christ.
Amen.
You're lacking power in your home. Magnify Christ. You're lacking power in your marriage. Magnify Christ. Hey, you're lacking power in your relationship with your children. Magnify Christ. Make big of Him. Amen. It's the power of God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so we see it says we must be saved. What a great necessity. We are all lost and helpless and on our way to hell, amen. And we all deserve to have our neck broken and burning in hell. But thank be to God for His Son and the great necessity given by the name of Jesus Christ. You must be saved. If you're not saved, you don't get born again. You don't go to heaven. Amen. You go to the other place. Amen. Hell is real. Hey, a great possibility, but because of His Son, there's a great possibility. Salvation. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was a great authority. The great authority of His name. Jehovah. Jesus. Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. His name. It means Jehovah saves. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Friend, I want to tell you, He's the Lord, whether you make Him Lord or not. And one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that very thing.
Amen.
And there's a great responsibility. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Friend, there's one mediator between Christ and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's one way to God. Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Friend, there is one foundation, for no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Friend, how is the world going to escape if we neglect so great a burden? And how come we don't feel the weight of that burden on our shoulders? Well, friend, it takes the Bible. You're going to have to, the Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The preaching of the cross is powerful. The preaching of the cross is powerful. You know what happens at the cross? Sin dies. Amen. Sin dies at the foot of the cross. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed. Amen. And henceforth we should not serve sin. Amen. Hey, you know how come I can have victory over sin? Because of the cross. You know how I can have power in my life, dearly beloved? Because of the cross. You know how I got joy in my home? Because of the cross.
Amen.
Because at the cross, sin is defeated. The devil is defeated. Hell is defeated. John chapter 5 and 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Hey, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. Hell is defeated. Hey, I was in the doctor's office the other day, and they was doing a procedure on my legs there, and I was talking to the young lady, and one lady has three kids, and she works a full-time job, and I was talking to the other lady, and she's pregnant with her firstborn there, and we was just kind of general conversation. I told them I had six kids, and they just thought that was the most amazing thing. And they like children, but they can't imagine six. They're like, oh, what a burden. Oh, what a lie the devil has told you. It's not a burden at all. Oh, what a blessing. Amen. And I begin to tell them how we sing in the car, and we sing in the house, and we sing in the church. And God has given us a house of singing instead of a house of cursing and swearing. Amen. And boy, I just want to give God the glory. I thank God for the cross, amen. I thank God for the blessed day Jesus died on the cross and looked ahead in time, saw a seven-year-old boy who was on his way to hell, amen, and said, God, I want that one right there. And I said, Lord, if you'll have me, I'll go. And Lord, if you'll have me, I'll go. I thank God for the cross this morning. I thank God that sin got defeated. I thank God that hell got defeated. I thank God that victory was won that day. There's power at the cross. It's powerful enough to enlighten the sinner, since it's the power of God unto those that believe. It's powerful enough to enlighten the sinner, powerful enough to encourage the saints, powerful enough to exalt the Savior. Hey, the preaching of the cross is peculiar. Bible says in Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. Job chapter 37:14 says, hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of the Lord. Amen. Wondrous works of God. To them that perish, it's foolishness. It's peculiar. Amen. It will set you apart. Amen. And I'm worried for those who it don't set apart. Here are all these TV's evangelists, you know, somebody was going over the life of Billy Graham, and he's the only preacher that they ever gave a star down in Hollywood. Careful when the world likes you. That's what I'm saying. I tell you what I don't want to be. I don't want to be a part of nothing that the devil ain't mad at. Amen. Amen. Everybody starts getting mad and throwing things at you and everything's going wrong, you must be doing something right. Amen. Or you probably need to get some counsel. Verse 9, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen. Of the word of God, doctrine, it keeps us from error. Amen. Reproof keeps us from sin. Correction keeps us from failure. Instruction in righteousness will keep us from foolishness. Amen. Amen. The effects of preaching the cross here. Peter preached death. Peter preached the death and burial and resurrection. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2 here. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We'll pick it up in verse number 23 and 24. It says here that him being delivered, we know the story here, it's the day of Pentecost, and they all got full of the Holy Ghost, and Peter, led of the Spirit of God, stood up, began to preach to those Jews there, and says here, he gets down into the verse number 22, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by the wicked hands and have crucified and slain him, and God raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Peter preached the death, burial, and resurrection. He was preaching the cross. And look what happens down in verse number 37. Verse number 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart." You know what that means? They fell under conviction. Yeah. Amen. Because that's what preaching the Bible does. That's what preaching truth does. It brings conviction. Amen. And then look here in verse 38. It says here, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of the Lord Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." I tell you what, preaching the cross, dude, it'll bring conversion. It'll bring conviction. When you get a godly conviction, you'll get a godly conversion. Amen. Then in verse number 41, we see that they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And what we see is a confession of faith in Christ. Amen. Verse number 42 said that, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers." And so then we see the effects of preaching the cross will also bring continuance in the ways of God. Amen. You know, I was, I don't want to go there because I'm going to be preaching some of that at the 1 o'clock hour. But, you know, I want to say that the preaching of the cross will bring continuance in the ways of God. Amen. It's good to be reminded about what God did for you. Amen. It's good to be reminded about how, hey, I'm not living, okay, I'm not living to victory. I'm living from victory. Amen. I ain't trying to get the victory. He's already won the victory. I just got to live in the victory he's already gave me. Amen. Amen. And you learn that at the foot of the cross. Amen. But tell you what else it does. Acts chapter 2, verse number 45. "And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had needed." You know what it does? It brings consecration to God. I know it's a simple thing. They sold their possessions. You know what they did? They got in. They got sold out to God. All of a sudden, the things of the world wasn't that important at the foot of the cross. Amen. And friend, I want to tell you, you ever get in, amen? You ever get a hold of what God did for you, amen? You ever decide you just want to go with God and the world can do what they're going to do, I'm going to go with God, amen? You're going to get sold out, amen? All of a sudden, the things of this world will grow strangely dim, amen? In the light of his glory and grace. That's what happens, man. And that's what the cross will do for you. The preaching of the cross is not just for sinners. I know I've been preaching this whole message, and friend, I want to tell you, if you ain't ever been born again, amen. Today's a fine day.
It's a good day.
It's a good day.
Yes, sir.
And there's no day like today. You're not promised tomorrow. You know, I'm from Alabama. I ain't accustomed to driving on these icy roads. And we come in here Monday afternoon, and the roads were icy and it was snowing, and we were so unsure, and the van, a little slide here, a little slide there, and truly I felt like the angels of heaven were just kind of helping us out, amen. And I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. But friend, I want to tell you, life's a slippery slope, and you don't know one wrong turn, huh? We all drive on the ice here, we know one wrong turn, find yourself in a ditch. Friend, I want to tell you, if you find yourself in a ditch and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, it could be a bad situation.
Yes,
life's a slippery slope. We're not promised tomorrow. The preaching of the cross is for the lost, but it's also for God's church.
Right.
It's the foolishness to them, y'all, but it's the power of God to us. We feel encouraged. We feel emboldened. We feel empowered. We feel like, hey, it's not about us being worthy of what we can do for him, but we feel like because of what he did, we can do what we should. You know, and we feel the duty of it because of the cross. Amen. It's for God's children. Amen. It's for the edification of the church. So anyway, I just want to encourage you that way. And if you haven't been saved, man, today's a good day. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It really is that simple. I'm not trying to oversimplify it. I understand there's some other elements there, but it really is that simple. If you know you're lost on your way to hell, don't wait. Don't wait. Now, you've sat on enough Bible preaching in this church, I guarantee you. You know exactly what to do. Amen. So let's bow our heads and stand to our feet. Pastor John, would you come?
Pastor
Hayden. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace, God. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. God, thank you for the cross. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, your blessed hearts here this morning. God, I pray, God, that your children.